Hello, this is Tom Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. Winston Churchill said, "Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen," and listening is what we're talking about today. Lead Yourself First is your system to help you develop the leadership and listening skills that are going to help you today and every day. And I'm here to help you grow those skills. And today we're talking about proven tools that make a difference. Each of us needs a plan to grow. We just need a time and a place that we can commit to continuing to stretch the skills. And in our world today, growth is not optional because the world is constantly changing. And what I get excited about is the fact that we can grow. Each of us can grow. We choose to plan to grow. We choose to grow, we plan to grow, and we take action on those. Now, these concepts in today's lesson in particular are precious and valuable, and I'm excited to be able to share all of them with you in these lessons. So before we jump into the content from today about listening, I want to remind you that your job is to be an active participant in this process. It's not just to sit back and wait for the call to be over. My challenge to you is think about, as we're going through this, what can I apply? What can I change? What can I teach? How are you going to act when we're done? What's something you can put to practice immediately? What's something that you have been doing one way and maybe you need to do it a different way in the future? And finally, teach. And I don't mean get on a call like this. I mean, what can you share with a coworker or with a friend? And I know you hear this week after week in these lessons, but I want to challenge you to not be that reservoir. Be a river. Let knowledge flow through you to other people. Now, I've been looking forward to this lesson. I look forward to it because I know that communication is the core of every relationship we have. And when you improve your skill at communicating with other people, it's going to impact every part of your life. Every part of your life. And that's something that's important to think about. These ideas can be transformational in your life if you'll apply it. Now, in the next few minutes, we're going to unpack some really good stuff, and I want you to get the most out of it, because if you take even one idea and start to put it into practice, you're going to see return. You're going to get benefit. Now, maybe as we work on this, you'll see, oh man, listening is not a core strength of mine, and I'd like to have some more help, and I promise at the end of our session, I'll share with you a way that we can go a little deeper and spend some more time on this. Fair enough? Well, let's get into the lesson. So, Harvey McKay shares a story of a social work student who was learning the value of reflective listening, where we summarize what the other person said to show we heard them accurately. And after several practice sessions, each student was asked to choose someone with whom they could practice outside the class. And so Mary chose her 8-year-old neighbor. "Hi, Jimmy," she began. How have things been going?" "Not very good," Jimmy responded. "You haven't been doing too good?" Mary questioned. "No, I've been in trouble with my mom most of the week." "You've been in trouble with your mom?" "Yes, and it's not my fault." "Not your fault?" "Mary, you seem to have the same problem my mom tells me I have," Jimmy exclaimed. "It seems we both don't hear too well." So let's talk about listening for a moment or two. As you go through this lesson today, I want you to think about somebody you'd like to be better connected with. Maybe it's a family member or a friend. Maybe it's a client or a customer or a prospect. As we're describing the levels of listening, I want you to think about what is your level of listening today, and what's a tweak or an adjustment you could make to improve your listening. Listening is an important skill, but as Stephen Covey says, most people don't listen with the intent to understand. Most people listen with the intent to reply. And I'll suggest to you that if you listen to what others are saying in such a way that they truly feel heard, most of the conflicts and frustrations you're facing about people problems are just going to go away. Now, one key tool to influence other people is making sure that they feel heard. It's about listening well. And I want to share some specific tips today that are going to help you listen more effectively. I got these from Mark Goulston, who wrote a book called Just Listen. The reality is people are craving to be understood. We're so busy, nobody has time to think, and we're just dying to have a safe place where we can be heard. So what's in it for me to listen to other people? Well, first, we show respect to the other person by listening to them. when we listen to them, we're showing them they're important to us and that we care about them, and it communicates that respect to them, that we'll be willing to hear what they have to say. Now, it's hard to do that because if we're honest, we just pretty much don't care what most other people think. And as I'm writing this lesson, there's a viral video where the audio is going around and it says, "I wish I could, but I really don't want to." And I think that's how many of us approach listening. Secondly, listening to others builds our relationship with them. There's a story from over 100 years ago. There was a young woman who was taken out on a date two nights in a row. On the first night, she went out with one political candidate. The next night, she went out with another political candidate. She went out with William Gladstone and Benjamin Disraeli. And when she was asked what impressions these two celebrated men had made upon her, she replied, "When I left the dining room after sitting next to Mr. Gladstone, I thought he was the cleverest man in all of England. But after sitting next to Mr. Disraeli, I thought I was the cleverest woman in England." So which one do you think got her vote? Listening to other people builds our relationship with them. And why else should we listen? Well, listening helps us to grow our knowledge. President Lyndon Johnson said, "You ain't learning nothing when you're doing all the talking." And Johnson was absolutely right about that. The only way you'll learn something in a conversation is when your mouth is shut. My best friend from childhood helped me work on this a couple of years ago when he said, "Tom, if the opportunity to shut up ever presents itself, you should take it." Because listening increases our knowledge. My mentor, John Maxwell, says nobody ever listened himself or herself out of a sale. And finally, listening builds loyalty because we all want to be around people who will listen to us. So we've talked a little bit about why to listen. If we want to build our influence, we have to become a better listener. And I want to take a few minutes to talk about exactly how to listen to other people. And I mentioned Mark Goulston's book, Just Listen, earlier. And the author outlines four levels of listening. As you're listening to this lesson today, I want you to try and figure out what level listener are you today. You ever been in a conversation with somebody and you felt like they're physically there, but not really there? I used to work with a guy, he was constantly distracted. He was a visual guy, and he could not stop looking around while we were talking. His head was on a swivel. No matter what I was saying, he was looking elsewhere. There was no eye contact. Now, he'd carry on a conversation with you, but he was never, ever looking at you. He was obviously not there, and that's an example of somebody who was listening over. I'm really not paying attention to you. I'm here, but I'm not paying attention. And other ways you might know that somebody's listening over is they may be looking at their phone or their computer. They're looking anywhere but you. Another example is when somebody's nodding, maybe even saying, they're there, but they're not there. And that's level one listening. That's listening over. They're clearly waiting for the conversation to be over so they can focus on the things that they want to focus on. It's unproductive, and it's an unpleasant experience for the speaker, and it's not pleasant for the listener either. So that's level one. Let's talk about level two. Goulston calls this level two listening at. So we're listening over, now we're listening at the person. And listening at, you're listening with your defenses up. You're preparing your counterpoints while the person is still talking. It's being quick to react and slow to consider. It's a good example of this is what novelist E.W. Howe said. "No man would listen to you talk if he didn't know it was his turn next." It's the kind of listening that prompted Mark Twain to say, "Most conversations are monologues in the presence of witnesses." If you're only listening to hear enough to make your case, to make your argument against their point of view, or to hear yourself speak, you're going to miss what the speaker's saying. And one warning about this kind of listening, you've got to be on guard, because if the speaker is saying things that conflict with your point of view, your emotions can run away with you, and emotions will derail your listening very quickly. John Neffinger wrote a book called Compelling People, and he says, we have trouble thinking clearly when we're upset by something somebody else has said. They did a study, and what they found was as soon as the participants who were watching video clips, as soon as they recognized the video clips as being in conflict with their worldview, the parts of the brain that handle reason and logic went dormant. The parts of their brain that handle reason and logic went dormant, and the parts of the brain that handle hostile attacks, fight or flight, that lit up. Your emotions really can get the best of you when it comes to listening. So we talked about level one, listening over the other person. We talked about level two, listening at the other person. Now let's get to the next level of listening, level three, listening to someone. If you're really listening to that person, you're asking yourself, what does the speaker need? Now, sometimes I get in trouble on this front when it comes to talking with my wife. There are times that my wife really wants me to fix it. Other times, she just wants me to listen. And I admit, sometimes I don't get it. I don't know exactly what my wife wants. And one of the things we've learned in our marriage is that I can ask her, what is it you need from me right now? And thankfully, she doesn't get upset because she gets that I'm trying to get her. I'm trying to understand what her need is, and I'm not trying to jump in and fix if she doesn't want me to fix. The founder of Manager Tools, Mark Horstman, said, communication is what the listener does. Communication is what the listener does. Our job is to listen to what they have to say, to understand it, and to get it. And it goes deeper than that, too. And I have to say, I used to think that my goal when I was listening to you was that I was supposed to get it. And as soon as I was convinced that I got it, I could stop listening and jump back into the conversation to tell you how to fix it. But we really have to do more than get it. At level three, we're doing what that social work student was doing with the neighbor boy at the beginning of the lesson. She was listening to what he had to say and repeating back to make sure she understood the facts, that she heard the elements of his message and could accurately reflect the message elements back to him. Now, it's rare and it's super valuable, despite what the 8-year-old said about it. It's very unusual. I'll tell you, it's a little bit awkward, especially when you first start to practice it. When I was dating my wife, we were going through premarital counseling, and we were taught a technique that was called drive-through talking, like the drive-through at a fast food place. And the person in the car speaks, and the person in the restaurant repeats back what they said and thanks them for sharing. When we started to practice this, we were astonished at how often we failed to even accurately repeat back what the other person had said. And it was awkward stopping stopping myself from immediately responding to what my wife said, but it helped me to be able to make sure that I really knew what it was that she was saying. And this is level three listening. If you can become a level three listener, you'll be an incredible listener compared to most people, because most people never get to that level. And it will improve the quality of communication you have with other people. It's a very powerful thing to do. The other thing is, once you start to practice that, you begin to realize how poorly you've been listening up to this point. Now, one caution, especially for some of us who tend to be more task-focused or to lack patience, as you're getting started learning this skill, you might feel like this is a waste of time, or this is going to take double the amount of time in every conversation forever. In the beginning, it will take patience, and it will take longer. But let me ask you this. Have you thought about what it's costing you to have miscommunication today? How many times does someone do the wrong thing or force you to do something again because it was wrong the first time? You're already paying a price. You already have inefficiency by not practicing this, and this is going to lower the cost of that inefficiency. It's going to dramatically improve your efficiency. And here's one way it helps. I told you, I used to believe that my job as the listener was to get it. And then just a moment ago, I said, it's more than that. What do I mean? It's not only that I have to get it, but if I'm going to be really effective as a listener, to really improve the quality of my listening, I need to make sure that you get that I get it. And using this drive-through talking technique, the person speaking is going to be clear that you've gotten what they're saying because they heard you say it. They heard you say what they said. And this creates a very powerful emotional connection with the speaker, because going back to what Stephen Covey said, most people don't listen with the intent to understand. Most people listen with the intent to reply. If you can set yourself apart as a person who really, really hears what other people are saying, you're going to be amazed at what happens and how much better your communication will become. And that's level three listening, listening to the other person. So we talked about listening over, where we're not really listening at all, level one. Level two, listening at, we're just hearing enough to be able to respond. Level three, listening to the other person, that's where we begin to actually hear what the other person is saying. If we want to go deeper, we can go to level 4, what Goulston calls listening into the other person. Because we're really digging into empathy. And empathy is rare in our society. It's rare because we're so busy and we're so emotionally torn up a lot of the time that it's very hard for us to connect with your need and what's happening. But the key point for level 4 listening that Goulston talks about is the idea of being a first-class noticer. A noticer goes beyond listening to facts. A noticer is not looking or watching or seeing what's happening. Those are kind of passive listening. What a noticer is thinking about and trying to think about as we're listening, in that conversation, you want to look at the engagement level of the other person. And our job is to be present and to really be attentive and to be, and I love this, intensely curious about the other person. Now, this is hard, and it takes a significant amount of energy. And the key thing about being intensely curious about the other person, it starts with noticing their body language. Are they making eye contact with you as they speak? What are they doing with their hands? Are their hands really kind of subdued, subtle, or are they really intense and broad? Are they moving closer to you or farther away from you? Do they seem kind of open with their arms and legs kind of open, or are they closed off? Are they looking down? Do they have a sour look on their face? This takes a lot of energy. It takes a kind of focus that often eludes us when in our world that's filled with short attention span, constant interruption. We have to remind ourselves to stop, to be present, to listen to, and then begin to listen into. Now, when you're listening with this intense curiosity, you're noticing the words that they use, the intensity of the words they use, the volume of the words that they're using, and you're beginning to move beyond facts. So, are they upset or are they really upset? Are they frustrated or are they angry? Is their conversation filled with profanity because they're so upset? This is a way to help gauge that. Are they happy or are they elated? Are they excited or are they stunned in awe? I mean, those types of things, when you hear the helper words, the magnifier words that they're using, it helps you to get a sense for how deeply they're feeling whatever they're feeling. And what you're doing is you're moving beyond words to connect emotionally with them. It's not the facts. You're going to get to the emotional connection piece that's really in there. And you're hearing the facts, and you're hearing the way the facts are being communicated, and you're working to empathize with, to feel what they feel. You don't have to agree with them. And you can say, if I were you, I'd feel the same way. And you can say that with integrity, because if you were them, you would feel that way. And you know that's true because they do feel that way. Now, just let me give you an exercise here real quick. Imagine that you're looking out a window, and it's late in the fall, and it's cool, and it's a rainy day. And the rain that's falling is a cold rain. There's a wind that drives the hard rain against the window pane. And you're noticing these factors in the weather as you look outside the window. Goulston says, the difference between responsible listening and receptive listening is, if you can imagine a young child is just freezing, and they knock on the door and they come in, responsible listening is to say, oh, you were out in the rain, you must have been there a long time. And what you want to do is dig in and say, you're drenched. You know, the child is shivering. You want to connect with them and feel what they're feeling. Come on in. Get by the fire or the heater register. Get some hot chocolate to help warm you up on this cold day. That example, you're connecting with the reality that the other person's experienced. You're noticing the factors around them, and you're empathizing. You're feeling what they feel. So do you want to go deeper and become a better noticer in your listening? Here's some questions that you could ask. What does that mean for you? Well, how do you feel about this? You can ask them, what do you think about X? What's your take? What's your perspective on this situation? I'm curious, what was your first reaction when you heard about that? So what's the best thing about that? And what else comes to mind? The higher you go in your levels of listening, the more powerful influence you are going to have with that other person. So it's almost time for your personal action plan. And as you're getting ready for that, I want to talk through with you what we talked about today. We want to become aware of our level one listening. And when we're doing level one listening, which is really not listening at all, we're listening over the other person, we're not paying attention to what's going on, I want to challenge you to immediately stop and apologize. And then, what if you went one step further? What if you said, "I'm sorry, I have to admit, I wasn't listening to you. Would you please repeat that?" What if you could ask them to repeat, and then you could engage? And at some point, even if you're listening, you might not be a level one, it might be level two listening, you might be listening to respond. If you find yourself having to bite your tongue, or if you're like me and you find yourself mid-sentence before realizing you needed to shut up, you could stop and say, "I'm sorry, I should have let you finish your thought. What were you saying?" And then shut up and let them finish before jumping in. Now, maybe you're ahead of the game. Maybe you're a level three listener today. And if that's the case, you're already intentionally being quiet while the other person's speaking. And then you're taking the time to sum up what they said and repeat back to them what they're saying. That's a great place to be because most people don't do that. But if you realize you're not yet at level four, that's a good time to start asking some of the questions I listed a minute ago. Well, what does that mean for you? Now, how do you feel about this? What do you think should be done about that? What's your take on this situation? What's your perspective? What was your first reaction when you heard? What's the best thing about that? What else comes to mind? Because your goal is to move beyond words, to really connect and empathize with the other person, to feel what they're feeling. So for your action plan, I want you to think about the one idea you can apply, change, or teach. And maybe you're with your team as you're listening to this lesson on listening. Great opportunity to have a conversation right now about how to listen better. Now, maybe you're interested in learning more or you want to spend some more time on this. I've got a 6-session coaching package on communications that's going to support you as you walk through learning more about really making a connection with other people. It's based on John Maxwell's book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, and you're going to get critical principles and specific practices that are going to help you move beyond words and really begin to connect with other people. Now, the cost for that is $349. If that sounds interesting, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com, tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up for you. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you next time.